Turn with me, if you would, now to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I want to read Matthew's account of this, what we just read there in Luke. Let's read how it's written here in Matthew, beginning in verse 19. Our Lord said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I wish that I could do that. I do. I truly do. I want, if we're going to continue to have services, and if we're going to continue to open up the Word together, if we're going to continue to preach messages, I pray they might be a help to us. I pray they might be something that we can really feed on and really learn from and really grow by. And I pray the Lord might let us get a hold of this. I pray the Lord might help us and make our life maybe a little more full of faith. Easier is not the word, but he said, "O ye of little faith." Well, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Increase our trust. I want to tell you some things tonight, and I want to preface what I'm going to tell you. I want to say some things before I say some things. The preface is, in Jeremiah 3, verse 15, the Lord said, "I will give you pastors according to mine heart." And we can look at that two ways. Number one, as the Lord purposes in His heart, whenever He sees fit and wherever He sees fit, He will send pastors to His people. We don't just go sticking pastors in pulpits and say, well, you have a pastor now. That's of the Lord. That must be of the Lord. And number two, the pastors that He sends, if it's truly of Him, they will teach and instruct His people not according to their own hearts. If it's of Him, and I pray it's of Him, I want to be, and you want me to be, and any man who stands here, a pawn of the Master. Move my mouth. Move my heart, and don't let me take advantage of this platform for my own agenda. If God is in it, He will send pastors who will teach and instruct, not according to their own hearts, but according to His heart. And where do they seek His heart and know His heart and find His heart? In His Word. They will personally want and desire to know His heart in the matter, and they will instruct and teach God's people very strongly to seek His heart in the matter. They will point men and women to His heart in every matter. He said, I'll give you pastors according to My heart. I think about that. I think about these things that the Lord says as I study and preach. If He has called me to be one of His pastors, then it is my calling and it's my responsibility to point all of us to His heart in every matter. That's my responsibility. God forbid that I see things differently and don't agree and steer away from what He said on this and lean us toward something that I feel would be more beneficial for us. I don't know anything more beneficial to us. It's all right here. Every bit of it. So I'm encouraged to do that. And I find confidence to do that in realizing this is my calling. This is my calling. I am to tell you, this is God's heart in the matter. This is God's desire. This is His will. This is His way in every matter that the Scripture deals with and reveals. All right, so I preface with that acknowledgement. And I do that because what the Lord has revealed right here to be His will and to be His way, this is so foreign to the flesh of man. I'm telling you honestly, this is so opposite and so foreign to the flesh of man. This goes against everything that man and woman in his or her flesh sees to be good and right and upstanding and responsible and honorable. This goes against everything we see to be honorable and responsible. Verse 25. Our Lord said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? They were constantly telling our Lord, you need to eat. He said, I have meat that you don't know anything about. He said, is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? He's saying right here, don't take any thought for the provisions of your life. Don't take any thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Don't take any thought for it. Take no thought. All right, here's the natural response. Here's the flesh's response. You can't tell people that. You really feel good about standing up there and telling people that? You don't feel responsible if you stand up there and tell? I don't think that's a good idea. Isn't that unwise? Isn't that bad advice? Don't you think that's bad advice? My flesh, just like yours, would naturally see it to be that way. It would naturally see it to be that way. Honestly, if anybody else was saying this, if anybody else was the one saying this, we would have to respond with, that's bad advice. Don't listen to that. That is bad advice. That's wrong instruction. But here's the thing about it. Even though they don't understand it, even though it's hard to get your mind around it, the heart of God's people, knowing that this is God saying this, the heart of God's people know that the only response to this, other than amen, is utter blasphemy. There's only one response to this. Amen. Amen. In hearing and reading something like this right here, the heart of God's people respond by saying, who am I to reply against God? God said, take no thought. Take no thought. And he didn't just say it once. He said it twice. At the very end, he said, don't take thought for tomorrow. But he said, concerning these provisions, he said it twice. Look at verse 31. He said, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And we read all those verses. He said, just like he knows that the birds have need, he knows that. He knows that the flowers have need. Are the flowers important in this world? Not really, but neither am I. He knows that the grass has need. He knows all of this, and the reason is because he made all of this. And he made you and me. And this is what he has to say to all of his creation. This is what he has to say to all of his creation that he made and owns and controls and rules. He says, look to me. Look to me. This is the word of God to everything. Look to me and be ye saved. Look to me and live. Just trust me. Here's what I pray we might get out of this. We're talking about a man who we can trust and needs to be trusted. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we were talking about another man who we loved and trust, it's easy for a man on this earth to say, I'm going to tell you, you can trust that man's word. You trust him. If he tells you something, you can trust him. But for some reason, there's a disconnect between the physical and the spiritual. But I pray the Lord might reconnect us and cause us to see we can trust this man. This man who is doing all things after the counsel of his own will, perfectly ordering and just masterfully controlling and organizing all things. Just trust this man. Oh, I lost my job. Trust this man. Oh, who knows what happened? Trust this man. Trust this man. Just trust this man. He said, I take care of the birds. I take care of the flowers. I take care of the grass. He said, I chose for you to be my wife. Are you not much better than they? Trust this man. He said, in this scripture, in this portion, he said, you trust me and everything will be taken care of. This is my calling, and this is my commission according to his heart. I am to tell you to completely, totally trust him in everything, for everything. Completely. Not partly, not mostly. Completely look to him. Completely go to him. Go to him. How do I do that? In the heart. In prayer. Run to him. Go to him. Don't bring any provision of your own. No preparation, no work, no payment in your hand, no price you bring for anything. You just completely, totally look to him, go to him, trust him, seek him, ask of him, and he will supply all of your need. How can you be so confident? Well, in my flesh, I may not be, but he is. He is. He said, I will supply all your need. I don't need to be confident in what I'm telling you. I'm confident in what he's telling all of us. I'm confident in his confidence. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Where's that? What is that? It's not a where or a what. That's a who. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the living waters, the water of life himself. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. You don't have any money. He's saying right here, take no thought of it. Take no thought for it. He that hath no money, he said, come ye, buy and eat. Buy without money? Why would you say buy without money? Why wouldn't you just say take without money? Why would you say buy? How do you make a buying purchase? How do you make a purchasing redemption? How do you redeem something without money? Oh, a redemption was made. A payment was made. A transaction took place. We just sang a moment ago, 'tis done, the great transaction's done. Everything was fully redeemed. But it wasn't redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. It was all redeemed, that means paid for, with something much more precious than that. It was the precious blood of the Lamb of God that was without blemish and without spot. A payment was made, it just wasn't made by you. There was no price passed along to you, it was freely given to you. So he said in verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And he said in verse 2, when you get here, don't try to spend any money. Verse 2, he said, Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3, he said, Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. He said, I've made a covenant with you to do this for you. It's the same covenant of mercy that I made with David. And that covenant stands on and has been built on and is made sure on the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, he said, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee." Verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way." Well, that's not the way I see it. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now watch verse 8. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." He's saying, who do you think's doing all that? Verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." The Lord said, "I will do all these things for my people. I'll do it, both spiritually and physically." Spiritually speaking, he said, "Take no thought," and if we want proof, one for the other, the spiritual ought to, in our hearts, prove the physical. And the physical can prove the spiritual. Spiritually speaking, he said, "Take no thought for what you're going to spiritually eat." What are we going to eat? How are we going to be fed spiritually? How are we going to be? How are God's sheep all over this world going to be fed spiritually? He said in John 6, "I'm the bread of life." What are we going to eat? "I'm the bread from heaven." Turn with me over there quickly. John 6. John 6, verse 48. He said, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Verse 52 says, "The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?" What they're saying was, doesn't this sound foolish for us to listen to? Doesn't it seem impossible to receive life if we take no thought for the showbread of the law, you know, our works? If we only cling to the bread that Christ can provide himself, wouldn't that be irresponsible of us? Wouldn't that be neglective? Wouldn't that be unwise? Spiritually speaking, wouldn't that be unwise? Honestly, a sinner who has received faith from the Lord God will say, absolutely not. Spiritually, don't I need to go gather my own bread and feed myself? And absolutely not. We had better look to Christ and trust Christ on this. in spite of how foreign that is to the flesh, spiritually. That's so foreign to the flesh. But in spite of the fact that the flesh naturally says, how can a man live this way? You mean Christ just gives it? He just feeds his people with it? How can a man or a woman live eternally this way? Well, in spite of our natural ignorance and blindness, we need to know this is God's will. This is God's way, spiritually. We are to stop looking to ourselves and we're to start looking to Him alone, spiritually. This body that we live in feeds on His body. The Spirit feeds on His body. His body is our meat. His blood is our drink. Verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. I'm going to tell you, I remember growing up hearing that, thinking, what in the world does that mean? And then when the Lord reveals to me, there is no sustaining life but Him. There's nothing that feeds and nourishes and supplies what I need to live but Him. Verse 54, He said, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. My flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Spiritually speaking, this is God's will and God's way. This is what I'm to tell you. Spiritually speaking, take no thought to yourself, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Take no thought for it. Our Lord said, the robe of my perfect righteousness is the only covering you need. That's the only clothing you need. So go with me back to Matthew 6. We know that where we go wrong spiritually is when we think that we need to provide for ourselves, you know. We know we go wrong spiritually when we think we need to provide for ourselves. And our Lord spiritually said, no, you don't. You cast your all on me. Spiritually, you cast your all on me. Well, I pray this will help us. All right, I pray this will bring a little bit of relief to us. I pray this will bring a little peace to us. Our Lord has said to His people, the same thing applies physically. The same thing applies concerning the well-being of our life. I know that we think, you know, just like falsely, spiritually speaking, people think, well, I know He's involved somehow in my salvation, but I think I'd better take matters in my own hands just in case. That's wrong. Physically speaking, we tend to think, I know He's involved somehow, but I think I better take matters into my own hands just in case. Our Lord said, you cast your all on me. You look to me, you trust me, I will provide all your need. Thank God He doesn't give us all of our wants. But He said, I'll give you all your need. Somebody will hear that and say, does that mean I don't even need to worry about working? I mean, do you think I ought to just not even worry about going out and find a job? Absolutely not. The Lord said, go to work while there's 12 hours in a day. We complain after 8, you know, I'm 5 minutes over. Lord said, work while there's 12 hours in a day. He said, if a man won't work, neither should he eat. He said, if a man won't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. Go to work. But remember, He gave you the job. He gave you the ability to perform the job. He gave you the health. He gave you the mind. He gave you that breath of air you needed. He makes your legs work and your feet work and your hands work. He is doing that. He's doing that, and He gets the glory and the praise for it. He is sustaining that. It's all His doing. All right, somebody will read what's said here. Look at verse 34 in Matthew 6. It says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow. The morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day's evil thereof." Somebody will say, okay, so I need to go to work like the Lord has commanded me to, and I need to do the job He's given to me to, you know, that'll provide the immediate needs. Does that mean that I'm not supposed to set anything aside for a rainy day? Take no thought for the morrow. Should I not set anything aside? Listen to this. Proverbs 6:6-8 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." Absolutely. Be wise. Go to work. Provide for your family, such on and so forth. But let's remember that what He's saying right here is, look to Christ tomorrow, just like you look to Christ today. You need Him today, and you're going to need Him tomorrow. Keep looking to Christ. What do we have? What will we ever have that doesn't come from Him? Everything. Everything. So we look to Him for all things. And we quoted this morning Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path." So from the last few messages we've had from Matthew 6, this is a little summary of what's been told to us. Lay hold of Christ. Need Christ. Seek Christ. Serve Christ. Bow down to Christ. Worship Christ. Trust Christ. Look to Christ. Rely on Christ. He owns you. He controls you. He provides for you just like He does all of His creation. I'll close with this verse. Verse 33. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." What is that? It's not a what. That's a who. Jesus Christ. And He said, "All these things shall be added to you." And that is so. I'm telling you, my flesh has doubts just like yours does. But my command and commission is to tell you, according to the heart of God, that is so. That is so. All right, Brother Dwight, you come and lead us in a closing hymn.